Yeah, but you know what? It's funny. I need to go back. I'm going to switch this topic now, Bob. I have the notes from Carolyn's first, from the last private session of the first seven rings, and now the eighth rings. It makes me think, it's just like when I listened to Revelations and going over the keys and airs, you know, I was set on that and had notes on that. And then when Ion went through with Carolyn and Jenny and Greg, they totally obsolesced almost everything that they did in the first Revelation session, and they've done the same thing with the rings. It's really, it's amazing. It's really amazing. And it helps me because I have a question coming about the rings that I'm looking into right now.
Yeah, are you saying what you heard tonight obsolesced the first seven, six rings?
The last eight, 8 through 14. What I heard tonight obsolesced what I heard in the original Revelation series, and then the first session that Carolyn did for 1 through 7 obsolesced those. And just hearing this tonight, I'm just blown away. It's totally different.
Well, this is what I want to talk about. I got a pattern out of it. Let's see express this. So you start with the three statements. Ion says, Iondom is here to help you ascend. So you take in information that you never heard before, part one. Part two is you take the products. And part three is you decide whether you can stay with it or do it, whether you like Iondom or not, right? Mm-hmm. Remember those three levels?
Yes.
You get exposed to new information. That prepares you for the drops. Back then, you would talk about getting the drops. And then our products that we add to that. And then you decide after a while whether you want to continue ascending or not. You have to figure out your relationship to it.
Yeah.
So if we go back at the and we also know that the first six rings are the inner
chemical
landscape of a person, the chemistry.
Yeah. Yes.
And then the last six rings, or seven, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, seven rings are the outer world of frequencies and outer kingdom almost. So inner and outer. Now, I would have to ask Ion, is the chemistry that you do in the first six rings part of the inner kingdom? I don't think so, because emotions are in the second ring. Nine is stabilizable emotions. So,
yes.
And emotions are inner kingdom. So I don't know if you can put emotions in the first six rings, which would be the inner landscape. So it probably doesn't work. But anyways, taking these three levels, you begin with ring eight. And it's the nomenclatures and markers, the Catholic Stations of the Cross, a schizogyroscope, and let's see, bifurcation, how the 144,000 are created. So that is some, what did I say it was? We'll call that the information, 1, 2, 3. Part one is information. Call that the information. Then ring nine is the emotions. That might be still considered part of the information. Then ring 10 is the seven churches or stations and the outcomes of the vile judgments. So they are the judgments of yourself. So that's part three. Ring 10 is the judging of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Then ring 11, the seven crowns, is more judgment. Then ring 12 is the signs and wonders. And that goes into the effects of our products and what Ion brings forth to help you ascend. So you would say rings 10 and 11 are the judgments, phase three. Ring eight and nine are the information and working through the information where you have to deal with your emotions of the information. So that's eight and nine is part one. And part two, going through the, doing the products and dealing with those effects, is ring 12. So that's how I'm I got this organizing pattern here. You get it? What I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The information.
So ring eight and nine are the information phase of the three-step process.
Right. And the judgments are the seven churches and the stations of the cross and the vile judgments right there in ring 10. And then there's the process of being judged by the elders, whether you deserve the crown. So that's part three, the judgment level. And then the wonders and the effects of the triangulation of the cell. We heard that phrase. That was new. Triangulating our cells to get our 144,000. That would be a level two, right? Engaging the products, which are wondrous. So if you look at the notes, if you make notes for these, that might help. So you've got the three levels in part two in the second range of seven things. Let's see, what did I say about that? When you get up to ring 14, it loops with ring 1, which is chromosome 14. It's also in ring 14. So the diagram is a picture of one cell or one aspect of the cell, chromosome 14. That's like the micro part of the angel diagram. And then the macro expands to everything. So the first six rings are your own ascension with your private citadel of consciousness. And then the second seven rings are dealing with social mortar. So that was the next level here. Communication is social mortar. And rings 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 deal with social communication, the outer world, the world of frequencies. So there's the information part of mortar. Then there's and that includes the stabilizing emotions, not having emotions. That's the ecology of not getting sucked into communication, which is social mortar, right? Media or social mortar, beginning with speech, or even whatever's before speech. Social mortar can be included in ring 8, 9, 10, and 11 because it involves information and judgment and naming things. Nomenclatures and markers is the title for ring 8. So somebody said something.
Yeah, it's Madeline. I don't know if you can go back about four sentences. You said something about stabilizing the emotions and communication. Stabilizing the emotions means not getting sucked into
communication. Didn't we talk about this bird on Tuesday? I went into this deep thing about the ascended person does not communicate, does not engage in social communication. Now, Ian added to it already, unless it was said during the private session that I can play with time. There's no time, but you can play with time.
Yes.
And Bob plays with time, in a detached way. That means playing with social mortar and interacting with people. Ian says, you can be ascended, but it's a lot of fun to hang out with other ascended people and enjoy the communication that happens. And ideally, they don't get all fucked up by it, right? They put it on. So there's a detachment with social mortar that the second set of rings deals with. And so the frequencies in the outer world and social changes, different from the platonic forms of the first six rings, the archetypes of the absolute, are the stages that the Bible lays out that everybody goes through when they ascend. It's the same patterns with the thunders and the lamps.
The vials, the trumpets.
the vials are more, in terms of the vials are more the second part, social mortar. That's judgment. That's human communication. That's the ongoing adjustment of identity in relation to what other people are saying. So the platonic archetypes are like in Sheila's painting. You know, you've got the lamps, you've got the elders, you've got the trumpets or something. There's a bunch of things in the painting. The throne. Yeah. See, these are everybody. Ian says goes through the throne experience, and she paints the environment around the throne, which would be these constant archetypes that everybody goes through. But in social mortar, you're mixing it up with human creativity, and that's in all forms of communication, which is not constant. It's subject to individual projection, individual making, cultural making, the whole world of public communication. So
the first six rings then are stone?
Yeah, you could say stone. They deal with the stone, and the wall, the mortar, is the second seven rings.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got, yeah?
I'm sorry, I'm being very, I'm not getting it, and I really want to. Did you say that, you're saying a lot.
Right, and, but it's built on what we did. You never heard the tooth. Do you remember that, Bert? Remember when I went into
detached from communication?
Yes.
I wanted to throw the phrase language is how I remembered it. Ian was saying Bob plays with language.
Yeah.
Right? Wasn't it like the problem of language, but you...
Yeah. Language is mortar.
That way.
Mm-hmm. Language is mortar.
Okay, so but regarding emotion, so you... what did you just say? You said something about judgment?
Yeah.
Also, the
communication is judgment. I'm judging what you're saying. You're judging my response to what you're saying.
And then my
mind is judgment. Mind
is judgment. In that?
What'd you say?
Mind is judgment. Did you just say mind is judgment? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But then you said that the identity is formed somehow in there, in that mix.
Yeah, you make mental decisions about yourself or about what the thought process, like how you react to me, I will judge what I want to do about your intensity or non-intensity in blocking and merging, which was my first statement in the Cloning ESP article in 1999. In communication, we block and merge. We allow some things in from the other person and other things we don't. So the judging of what you block and what you merge is the basic aspect of communication between people.
Mm.
And that creates a delusion.
Yeah. So you know how Ion went on a long thing about how you love to hear, and you've even said it yourself, you want to hear other people describe you.
Yeah.
Now, what are
so
in this context, what are you doing with that?
I'm studying what you see in the diluted interaction caused by communication, which includes my body language, what I say, other factors, how you are and how you react to what I am. So I like to hear other people talk about me because I know I'm not limited to the social image I have. But I do create a social image. So you want to find out what people think of you, what they're picking up about you. So any talk about me is how I learn about the social mortar part of myself or the last seven rings.
Okay.
The first six rings, you don't discuss that too much. That's your own, you could say, what happens when you take drugs. Ayahuasca or something, and what you go through is very personal. You don't talk about it with anybody very much. Like, you know, James Martinez, he'd go down there and have his ayahuasca weeks down in Peru, and he'd come back, and he'd find it very hard to talk about. But I would be patient, try to get him to say a few things. And one time he was talking to Ion, And Ion, he wanted to describe a major experience he had, but Ion just took over because he was not getting it out and described it to him, and that blew James away. Ion described the pond that he, Ion described what his mind had hallucinated.
Bob, that's because
hard,
those experiences.
Pretty hard to figure out what somebody's hallucinating. Yeah, what
Bob,
you
those those experiences take us beyond language, so that's why it's so difficult to bring them back with language.
Right. So Ion was able to go into James's head, saw what he saw, and then described the vision James had, and James couldn't believe that Ion was right about what he saw and what James couldn't talk about. But Ion could.
Yeah, I find it interesting. I think that what they call the ego death that you often go through with those experiences, some people think that they are actually dying.
Right.
It's the languaging part of you being put aside, and it feels like we're so identified with that that it feels like you're dying or something really wrong is happening. Then
that's your social mortar identity.
Okay again.
That's your social mortar identity, and it's not actually your private citadel. But if you mistake it, you think you're supposed to have no ego, and you miss the point of the first six rings where you develop your power. And that's why Ion sounds odd to the normal New Agers, because they're thinking they have to get rid of their ego, and they don't know it's not the first six rings that you're getting rid of. It's the effect of media on you, or language, the second phase. And then they don't do anything with the first six rings, because they thought they did, they handled it when they lost their language function, which they called ego death.
Ion told, Ion kind of put this out with Mark Sweat, with the, he was talking about the dream or the parallel world experience.
Yeah.
And saying, don't write it down.
Yeah.
Right.
And obviously him like recording himself after is still language, but there's frequencies there that probably emit from the Hara or something cool like that, that the digital tech body can, you know, present. And that it gets into, like, didn't Ion used to talk about word power versus mortar?
Yes.
So, yeah, that was cool what they laid out with Mark Sweat as it relates to Maggie, what you're bringing up.
Yeah, when Ion says you got to talk to Ion and Bob, I do the social mortar and Ion does the first six rings.
Mm-hmm.
I do the last seven rings.
I would imagine the not writing down avoids getting trapped in the visual space about it, and just the speaking, it allows us to stay in a more acoustic place, which is way more unbiased and open.
Well, McLuhan said the tactile bias of the Thailander who had a maybe I should turn that everything turned off. We should not have this echo. Anyways, might be someone's mic, though. Let's see. Who's causing that? I don't know. I'm going to mute.
We don't hear the echo. I don't hear it.
Yeah,
but there's a chattery. There's something in the background.
Yeah. So, anyways, it's all right. Mike. Okay, so... So the Thailand, so McLuhan has this section I always mention, page 136, I think, from the book from Pleasure to Archetype, where what's called plenary awareness. Every culture has a phrase that expresses mastery of the situation. So the Thailanders, they are very tactile, so early sensitive. They have a phrase, I know it like a snake swimming in water. And the sensory bias of that is not a visual or acoustic or kinetic or proprioceptive bias. McLuhan says, now who's making all that ridiculous noise? Who just knocked something over?
That's me, my bad.
So I'm muting Bert, and probably, was it Jack?
It was Jack. I think he muted himself.
Okay. So the meaning of the snake swimming in water is the dance of thought among words. Now, that's the first situation if you meet a human. The words they say, or the grunting they say, if it's early, evokes thoughts. So we don't know the interaction of word and thought, but they're subtle, they're different, and they're involved. So when you take your ayahuasca, you're in the world of thought and imagery, pre-language. When you get into social mortar in the second seven rings, that's the world of words and later technical extensions of words. So the dance of thought among words in the tactile talander, a snake swimming in water, and you get all the mystical meanings of snake and water, that would be the interplay between the first six rings and the second seven rings. The world of thought would be the first six rings, and the world of words would be the mortar of the second ring. So the interplay of thought and word is me addressing what you're saying, Madeline. What did you say? So you meet someone, and you got thought and words. That whole process of interacting with somebody and judging how it's going is a problem for little man.
It's the emotions I want to get at.
Yeah, it evokes emotions. And McLuhan used to say that.
Your thoughts do, yeah.
Yeah, that there's no division between your mind and your body or words and thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
He said thoughts. People like to think there's emotions and there's thoughts. McLuhan said, no, they're the same thing. So emotions might be in the interval between thought and words. The point is they're all intertwined, and that's the mess that you have to work your way through to ascend. So
yeah,
he,
it seems like the thought creates a sensation in the body, and I would say that's an emotion. And
but it's the power of the word.
Said,
it's connected to words,
it's
and when you say
word.
Things,
yeah.
It alters your being. And that includes your inner chemistry or whatever you think
yes.
you're made up of. The words are part of, don't isolate thought, emotion, and words. They interpenetrate. But maybe
yes.
because there's a mirror, it appears to be two things due to the mirror effect. Or
okay.
two conversations. So we get it
okay.
all mixed up with our language, with our cultural terms.
Don't you have... You know, your inner talk, the neighbor,
yeah.
and then when you actually utter words,
the
outer words.
Yeah, and Ian says if thought had power, we would have destroyed the world a long time ago. But thought has no effect on the world, he used to say. But words do. Words change the world. So there you got to deal with it. You got thoughts, but you got words, and words are more powerful than thoughts. Traditionally, the tech body confuses this stuff even more. You could say squares the problem. You know?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I was thinking
right
all
in
that.
There, like Ion says.
What'd you say, Alyssa?
How Ion says the tech body, watch out, it'll slip right in there. It's like,
is he
you know,
something?
It's like a square.
Did he type something? I'm going to go over and look. Did he say
something? No, it's just what Ian says in past engagements, how you got to watch out for the tech body. It'll slip right in there. Be real subtle, you know, take shit away. And that's like the squared effect that you're talking about. It's like it's pretty subtle, that squared effect. Unless
that's tactility.
Get with Bob.
It's the dance of thought among words squared. Which involves technologies. And our electric technologies are as subtle as language, as speech. You're engaging in the effects of speech when you're texting or doing anything with the screen.
Well, it seems like, okay, so it's kind of an ethereal thing. It's like there's thought, and then if you utter those thoughts as words, that's kind of a concretization of the thought. And the typing is another form of concretization of a thought, or crystallizing,
yep.
or I don't know, making it like a little denser, or a little, yeah.
Yeah. But remember, we don't know which came first, the thought or the word. Like the Eskimo used to say, I don't know stone unless I have the word stone. So when someone first said the word stone to a young person, and they learned the word stone, they didn't know stone without that word. So communication helps concretize the objects in your environment, depending on the culture. So you're
so can you,
the power
can I get
of
that,
naming
but what would a
of an adult,
someone...
hold it, the adult naming stone, like you see a mother with a baby showing objects and saying the words, that's the original massage and seduction and conditioning of the sensory setup of the young person. They're starting to get locked into the boxes. Oh, I want to talk about the boxes in a few minutes. But
otherwise,
yeah,
it's all part of you, right, Bob?
Well,
if you
wouldn't use those words, all part
separate...
of me. See, look at the word. The word is silly. There's many me.
Okay.
Parts of many me, you know. You'll find that no phrase, anything you say in English, is not adequate. It limits it.
Well, I'm thinking of Ion saying that the cavemen didn't know they had feet. You know, like, it's
the cavemen didn't know what?
That they had feet. It seems like without the word, there's just this amorphous being.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. You're in a weird dangling ganglia, a psychedelic mishmash of blurry images and sounds. You're basically very suggestible and, you would say, hallucinating.
Maybe it's, remember how Ion brought up the symbian and the host?
Yeah.
You know, maybe this caveman example is, like, they're closer to, quote-unquote, closer to the host, you know? Because little man is the symbian and God's the host.
Yep.
And so without as much
well, they're closer,
language and
see,
mortar problems.
But see, look, wait a minute. See, don't worry about whether we came from spirit or source or we were closer, which we were, but that's before inventions, technologies, and media
right.
and social mortar took
yeah.
over.
Yeah,
you have
exactly.
to figure out how you got altered through the ages by different media environments. It overlaid and complexified and got you in a million boxes, which then leads to this. So if you've got the
yep.
Angel diagram, bring it up. I'll show you what I figured out here, looking at the angel diagram after hearing the stuff that Carolyn evoked. So have you guys got the angel diagram?
Yes.
So let's look. You take Sasha's notes. See, what you do, you have Carolyn's notes from what Carolyn said, plus Sasha's notes. Now, Carolyn was going through Sasha's notes and getting Ion to comment on them. So you go down to ring 8, and that's the, in Sasha notes, that's the frequency zone for those next 7 rings. The first 6 rings are the chemical zone. Now, note that the Escher, Ion says, is a flipping back and forth. That's in like the 12th ring. He talked about that. The
frequencies in ring 12.
Right.
The emotions.
Yeah, the emotions possible that apply to the Escher. The Escher
yes.
is sort of an image of tactility where it's neither here nor there, so it's going back and forth as you try to determine which is figure and which is ground. You can't settle it. So it's always flipping. And the emotions are a slower version of that flipping. But so you look at the ring 8. Let's bring it up here. 8 is EI. It's, look at Sasha. I'll just read off Sasha. Because some of you aren't looking at it. But in ring 8, you have L, which E-L, which means God. M-E, which means me. E-14, which means you. I age meant I age. Kele means kneel. Ardoban means adorn. And then there's stem call. So are you looking, those that have the image, do you see those words?
Yes.
Right. That is, now this is after Escher, this is ring eight. That's the beginning of social identity, social formation, an effect of mortar, and it's about the individual self, not the private citadel of consciousness, the God source. This is secular, word-created self. So it begins with you, right? See, so it makes sense to have social mortar, ring eight, the creation of social mortar, begins with me. And then the effects of that, it ages you, because you get lost in it. Okay? Do you see how those words are the I?
Yes.
Itself. Then you go to ring nine, and that's higher emotions and mediations. And in Sasha's notes, you go to ring two to see electric media. Not going to go back to that, but that's something you look at later, how ring nine interrelates with ring two. But the now you're more social. It's not about the me, you being a god, and the you, which is the conversation between you and you, and your kneeling, and your relationship to the world, emphasizing yourself. Now, ring nine goes into the world, and your relationships to the world, not about yourself, but how you handle what the world of communication mortar is doing, so you develop patience in relation to it, with it, kindness, pride, long-suffering, envy, rudeness, and you get provoked. All those are effects of the medium of social mortar.
Mm.
So that's the next stage of your, that's like ring eight is psychology, the development of yourself. Ring nine is the development of sociology, society.
Mm.
And Job reacted to society with these seven major emotional, higher emotions, which are not advisable. You've got to learn how to get detached from them. You know, you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If you're
yeah.
proud
yes.
because you're not proud and you're long-suffering and kind and patient, all those things that you're that Christians say or religions say are very important in civilization, you have to realize the social mortar duping of that value. Now you look at them, let's look at the words there in ring nine. Look at that, the up on the right you got Saim, then you got Bizkazi, Hydeen, Daimo with a 30, A. Then you've got 126 Megebi, and then you have Eloa with 21 over 8 VN, and then the last one is 1HRLLA, 21 over 8. Now, why are those numbers there? Now, what Ian said, none of us would realize, but then Sasha has explained the numbers on the chart. Well, she was making a note to herself that she didn't understand why the numbers there. And we never got explained until we heard the session tonight. Why are the numbers there? So that
wow.
Bob can link the diagram to the tiny note chart. He says there's the
characters. That's awesome.
Bob, yeah. I also heard them say during the show to someone that the tiny note is a blooming lotus flower.
Who said that?
Ion said that to someone.
Yeah, that's in my notes for, I think, ring eight. Let me see, do I have blooming? I know I wrote that down somewhere in here.
Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
Yeah, so...
What do they say that those numbers are for Bob to do what?
Remember, we found out that the tiny note chart is very intimately involved with the angel diagram. And Ion... It's amazing where a Karen just instantly asks something about the number, what are the numbers? And he says, mm-hmm. Well, that's Bob's input so that he can connect the tiny note chart with the angel diagram.
Mm-hmm.
And the numbers are 7, 12, 22, 18, 14, and 8 in the tiny note chart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ian makes a lot out of Mary Louise Croker and the Croker quadrant because that's number 14. And there are 14 rings. So that's something to look at. And chromosome 14. So that's why Mary Louise is important, is she's from the 14 zone, which is the number I assigned to the Croker quadrant. So you look for where's 14 in the angel diagram. So basically, Ian, you'll see him, he says they're connectors. It's a creation by Bob, his input into the angel diagram, to, as a way of connecting with the organization of the tiny note chart.
Mm.
So that's pretty, pretty interesting.
You mentioned somebody, the Lotus was brought up in somebody's session. Might have been Brent. I have it in my notes. Is that what you're talking about? Trying to spin the diagram and bloom the Lotus, which is Bob's chart.
Yes.
If you don't look at tiny note, big note won't matter. Yeah, so it's Brent.
Yeah.
In the later, cool. Bit after the private session.
Yeah. Thanks, Chad. Yeah. I knew I heard it, and I wrote it down. I remember hearing it, and it stuck with me.
Well, I got to check my notes for it might be last week, the first seven. I remember I had the word blooming in there, which came out of our private session, not Brent. Yeah. In ring eight, we have in my notes, which is a lot of the words, you wouldn't have them unless you wrote the notes down, words down as you were listening. But Ian says in ring eight, he says, but now the conditions of how you apply your new place of power, and he qualifies that, stabilizing the blooming lotus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the phrase you were talking about, Bert, the blooming lotus?
No, that was something what Chad just wrote. I remember that from the last session, but I remember when and Chad just brought jogged my memory, it was when Ian was speaking with Brent.
What was the phrase that came out of that?
Bob's chart is the lotus blooming. I just checked my notes.
Yeah, the lotus blooming lotus. I first heard that on ring eight, and you're saying Brent was said
after the session.
Tuesday?
No, just at the end
tonight.
Of the tonight.
Tonight. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so it was said. Well, the blooming lotus was said on September 29th to us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it ever was said before, but it's in his description. It's almost like there is, you got to remember, there's the Platonic archetype, which is an unchanging image. Then in the world of lower human social life, you have changes. So change happens in the world of social order, but the archetypes stand immovable and not changeable. So you have this lotus there, and we're trying to get to the lotus, but then when Ian says the blooming lotus, that gets into a process, a becoming. In philosophy, Western philosophy, there's the argument about being versus becoming. So the lotus is an image of being, perfect being, but to get there, you've got to go through the changes, and that's the lotus blooming. And you have to stabilize that as you're learning it or ignoring it or trying to control it. So he says, but now the conditions of how you apply your new place of power, because the stations of the cross are dogmatic in the Catholic religion. This is ring eight, nomenclatures and markers. But Ian is saying the stations of the cross are new places of power. And that's where you get into bifurcation in how you create the 144,000. And then he talks about the indivisible individual. And then he says the colors of the petals and the pitch and the yaw of it all. Those are quotes from what he said that when I reviewed the session the other day, I wrote these quotes down. Mm-hmm. None of you guys would have these quotes unless you write fast like Bert. Bert might have got a couple of these down.
Yeah,
right,
a couple,
Bert?
But... Yes, yeah. A couple of them, but it's amazing.
But I had time to stop the tape and get
them
all down. So the blooming lotus, for me, happened on September 29th. for you guys, it happened October 8th.
Yes.
Anyways, it's in there. The blooming lotus is important. What is the lotus versus the blooming lotus? So you're looking at the blooming lotus begins in the second phase, which is the world of social mortar or the world of information. The first phase, first part, first level is ring 8 with the formation of the individual. Or the psychology, social, the psychology that society makes you be. They say you're an individual. Then you got to deal with what society does to you, what the crowd does to you. And Job, hey, Jack, is that you bashing things? I'm going to mute you again. Is that you, Jack? Nobody's banging stuff. If you're going to bang stuff, just mute yourself. So the Job, society had done a lot of crummy things to him. It wasn't psychological drama in his own head between you and you or him and him. It was what, they stole stuff from him and he had all these problems. So that's more sociological identity. That's what Ring 9 is. And you develop emotions and values about how long should you be patient of what you're putting up with in a crowd. How long three little girls are walking to school. How long does the third person put up with the other two, excluding her from their interaction, which always happens, right? Get three people together, one person gets removed slightly. That's social effects. That's Ring 9. And you've got to develop a detachment with the emotions that are evoked by the irritations of interacting with society.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what Ring 9 deals with. So then Ring 10 is the 49 boxes. And that's the effect of the printing press. So as you evolve, you know, pre-literate people, they had a self and they had the crowd or the tribe. When you get to literacy, that fragments everything to extreme. And so you have subtle delineation because you can write it down and make all kinds of adjectives and adverbs. And so you describe these emotions and their particularities and you get lost in the rabbit hole of being learned and all the variations that literacy as social mortar conditions you to. So you got 49 fragments of yourself. 7 times 7. What's he say about Ring 10? The 7 churches, the 7 stations of the cross, and they're the outcomes of vile judgments. So the printing press creates literate law and all the legal institutions that come out of literacy. That complexification is natural in the evolution of mortar. So Ring 10 is the Gutenberg galaxy. You get that?
Yes.
Yeah, what was the complexification you said? What was
when
that note?
The fact that you start writing, you're a young person, you start writing diary about yourself, and you're looking up words if you're trying to be clever, or you're remembering words, describing, well, Betty did this, blah, blah, and she was a little assiduous. Whereas I was more compromising. You probably did this, Alyssa. That's why you laughed.
You wrote this.
Yeah, that's you. So okay. All those distinctions are made under literate conditions. Before literacy, where you got tribal groups wandering around the world, and they're all interacting individually and with the tribe, there's a lot of different kind of sensitivity there, right? In speech, in body language, and the drama of cognition is not something you stop and write out and describe. You react instantly. So if you so you could say that in a fight between a bunch of white kids and black kids, the black kids are very tougher than the white kids because the white kids got all these fucking stupid ideas they got from literacy, from their book training, that, as McLuhan says, makes you socially impotent. You're not as fast. So the black people have the cliche of being better athletes because they're pre-literate, not now, but they were, and so their bodies could respond instantly to whatever drama was going on between their bodies and their minds and emotions with another bunch of people in a group. And that's what a game is. So the speed of interacting, you know, acoustically through speech and gesture. I mean, you watch a bunch of black girls. They used to do it in New York. They talk fast. They're really communicating fast, right? It's almost ESP. But you see the white girls, they might be going, they get faster as the generations move along here. But if you go back and observe the baby boomers, they're slower in their interaction. They're white. They're more circumspect. They have ideas about, well, if I say this, I got a grammar problem, you know, and then they'll mock me for not saying the words right. You get no grammar problem in non-literate societies. So you end up with the Oakland language. You know, the blacks have this crazy language in Oakland, like California. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
They were trying to decide whether to teach, and you would have encountered it.
Ebonics.
Yeah, Ebonics. And that's natural to a speed-up, more oral interaction or tactile. The whites don't have that. So, where was that leading? So when you can write things down, that makes you socially impotent in interacting fast in the group and whatever the games are playing. But you've developed this other ability to delineate and describe your emotions and your environment, and then you write a book, and then you're part of a literate society, and you make a living or you become famous with your ability to write out stuff. Then you bring in the electric age. That retrieves the pre-literate nuance of printing, gets you back to the tribal speed, and you bring in all that's happened in the 20th century, you know, from swing dances, the jive, the jerk, the music, the rock, everything. It's all, you know, literacy. You have different values, how well you can dance. And so in high school, the guy who can't dance and is really good at literacy, usually in math, is the nerd. He's got no dancing skills. He's not very good at the oral ESP level. But the jocks tend to be better in that because they got to interact faster in sport. And they're not describing their emotions during the game. So you see the difference between the eye world and the ear world. And I'm looking at ring 11. This is all to introduce ring 11, where you have the, how are they described? The seven crowns. And it's about the process of changing. So you're back into the world of change. And you can even say, as McLuhan, that the 20th century retrieved medieval society. Medieval corporations. So Ayn says we're going feudal, but we've been feudal in many ways since the 20s. The feudal organization of society came in with the Nazis. So I see that the 11th ring, the 11th ring, which is blue, and you'll see the nice little designs. They also have numbers, including number 14. That is the electric era. So the ring 10 is a Gutenberg, and then the way Sheila has designed it, it's blue, ring 11, which is the seven crowns. That's the electric medieval feudal situation that we retrieved and came into. Not completely feudal, but it's a different reality after World War II than the Gutenberg. So it's called the Marconi Galaxy, after the guy who invented the wireless. So I'm looking at the social mortar. McLuhan describes the ring 11 and how it's different from ring 10. And then you get into ring 12, which is signs and wonders. That would be the unfolding of the last phase of analog, cable TV, electric guitar, and then you get all the digital technologies. Ring 12, with all those little ratios, expresses the Android meme phase, the digital phase. You see what I'm saying?
Wow. Yeah.
And the wonders of technology, signs and wonders, including the wonders of Ion in the middle of this. We're probably 13. So what's ring 13? The vapors. It gets real ethereal when you get into 2009 up to now. It's hard. We're in a digital, tactile, extreme interplay, and there's nothing solid. and that collapsed the economy in 2008. And so that's ring 13, the vapors. It says all things change except for words. Carolyn is the perfect ascending chameleon. You got to be a chameleon, quadraphenic, in ring 13. And you got to settle it on both sides while anything goes, because you're in the middle of all the dynamics, the monad, the dyad, the triad, and the tetrad. So that's ring 13, which is the later phases of the digital galaxy and the Android mean and Iandom. And then ring 14, which there is no image for. Ring 13 is a thin white line. And then there is no ring 14 that you can see.
Yeah, the Valiant Lotus.
Oh. Yeah, that's the Valiant Lotus. That's all what you're moving towards, which you can't visualize. Oh. All around, it's chromosome 14. So the notes here, Ian says, Bob has the ability to change what the Valiant Lotus is going to look like. The tech body is gaining enough indigenous creativity that it's going to go a little faster. These are things that Ian said to Carolyn that I wrote out. The tech body is gaining enough indigenous creativity that it's going to go a little faster. And it says, Bob hates nouns. You know, vapors. Got no nouns in the vapors. So we're looking at 13 and 14. The rings interact back and forth, trading memes the whole time. That describes our society the last 12, 15 years. Endless, you know, Android meme communication.
And which rings? All the ring.
What?
You said the rings.
Yeah, the rings interact. So all the rings are interacting in ring 14. Mm. They're already floating around interacting, but ring 14 is like the top of the mountain. And then it has Bob's number jumps. That's why there's numbers in there, which comes from the numbers in ring 8.
Ring 14 feels more like the base of them. I mean, it includes all the rings, 14 dots,
yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yeah. Because it links back to ring 1, and mm-hmm. they're both, ring 14, ring 1, are chromosome 14. So on the micro level, the whole mm-hmm. thing is just chromosome 14.
Mm.
And its interaction with the RNA and the RNA drops, which affects the DNA. And that's laid out in rings 5 and 6, those changes. So he's got here, looping with ring 1 opens up with chromosome 14. That's Marilee's croaker. That's what he says. Looping with ring 1 opens up with chromosome 14. That's Marilee's croaker, because she's quadrant 14. And another quote, there are lipids. So Sasha has lipids there. So why are lipids there, says Carolyn. There are lipids, says Ian, because they make up the membrane of the cell, including the pituitary gland. Then it ends with the question, what is God? So all that's going on in the invisible ring 14, which is the final phase of social mortar, which we've been in for the last 10 years. You know, ridiculous speed up, ridiculous implosion, ridiculous quadrophenia, all of it, which has led to the time of the Armageddon, the apocalypse, and lockdown Bob Rule. That's where we're at.
Awesome.
And, you know, in Ring 14, the social mortar makes you a king. Not the king like in on the throne in Rings 1 to 7. This is a simulation of the throne that the digital media gives you. Right?
Hmm.
That's the peak development of social mortar.
Yeah, that's a great phrase. Peak development of social mortar.
Yeah, because part of the reason maybe society's collapsing is we're right on the edge of, wow, this technology can come alive and take us over. So it's been a big argument in the public mortar world for the last 10 years about, should we slow down? Should we let this media take us over? And, of course, nobody could stop it, so it created the crazy society we have today, what people perceive as crazy. And we can't go past that. It's too much a decision. Like the Evergreen said, the final Armageddon will be battle between those who are for a new technology that if you implement it, you forget everything you ever knew, and those that don't want to do that. So we've been arguing over the last 10 years over whether to move into what would be their word? Ayn calls the tech body, what's his meta, moving into meta. So the world can't move on into the next level that changes everything completely and is totally post-human until we resolve the issues, which are just the past, as distractions, and that's what we're getting. Plague, famine, war, and everything else are distractions in the world of media and social mortar. So it's the last gasp of social mortar arguing with itself about whether it can extend itself beyond where it's gotten today into something that we can't measure. You can't determine what happens if we go into the new world without Coldplay, without our products.
It's interesting, too, that you got the people that are disappointed in social mortar or afraid of the effects or something.
Yeah.
And they are pumping the cancel culture. Oh, your words are not good. Or your words
there might
my
be also conservatives. But the ones that are canceling represent, they think, progress and moving to a more unified thing where everybody's on the same page and everybody lets everybody be whatever they want to be, that socialism thing, what they call the left or the new social justice warriors. They think that they're not holding back. They're ready for the new. The conservative, the Republicans, the Trumpers don't like the new. And they're stopping what's going on in the classrooms. And then remember, the aliens want us to go the way the classrooms are going because they want us to get ready to accept their weird forms as they enter our society.
Yeah. Yeah, what I meant is you've got one group not accepting the words of the others.
Yeah.
And, that's what we've seen for the 2 years now.
Yeah, and people can't figure out how to solve this. The schools keep going on doing ridiculous things, you know, taking a five-year-old and chopping him up, making them a boy, and the people who are not teachers hearing about this and discuss it with it. But how do they get together? Because they say it's a polarized situation. The elections might lead to civil war. No one can see us getting out of this impasse of whether we should go forward or not and how to go forward. So we sneak up, like the second coming described in the Bible, like a thief in the night, and we're implementing something that bypasses these issues by putting us into a frictionless society with frictionless energy and frictionless medicines. See, so you see how we are the ground, the new technology that moves us, is there to create a new civilization. But it's not the new civilization based on friction that the social justice warriors or the left wants. They're still thinking in terms of oil and jobs and welfare. All that changes when you have free energy, free electricity. Which many people have envisioned these things happening. There's all kinds of movements to get new free energy, and there's movements to get new medicine, but none of them got to where we got.
Hey, Bob.
Now, there's a whole bunch more I could say, but I'm not allowed. How about that?
Okay. real quick, Bob. There was something.
Hey, Sider likes what I did, Bert. Sider has nice run to Bob, and he's applauding me. The guy who doesn't deserve it. He's pretending he understands me. He hasn't paid attention to anything.
Did I hear correctly that Ion told Carolyn that the XX and the XY chromosomes are obsolete?
Yes, that's a breakup of more boxes, emotions, and categories. It all breaks up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because literacy created the sexes and the races. They didn't have
the division.
You know, was Shakespeare a super fucking correct, politically correct guy by making a black guy be the leader of the play, Othello? Boy, that's pretty revolutionary. But back then, he's describing medieval societies. They didn't have that sense of race.
Mm.
they didn't have the categories of the 49 boxes of Ring 10.
Going
through what Carolyn got from Ion, and I hear it when it's happening, I can't take it all in. But when I go and re-listen to it and edit it, that's when I get it all. So yesterday on Thursday and Friday I was doing this. I said, holy shit, I was getting all these neat patterns. I said, holy shit, I'll have a lot to say on Tailgate, which I'm doing. And this is what I discovered. It all came together, how to look at the angel diagram. But I'm just thinking this instant, I'm actually describing the tiny note. So I'm actually describing how the tiny note's going to overlay this.
Mm-hmm.
Because the tiny note lays out the evolution of order. And I'm projecting that into the rings 8 to 14.
Mm.
And it points to the peak of Mordor. Or, like, it represents, like, I've noticed you said, I'm moving to a four-bodied model. And,
when did I say that?
When was that? You're like, with Cameron. You're like, I'm going to, like, a four-bodied model because it's more simple. Or something like that.
Did I say it was more simple? Is that what you did? You're blurry, so I don't get every word. Did you say?
Yeah. I don't remember exactly, Bob, but it was something like, I'm dropping the five body. I'm going to a four bodied model because it's, a little bit easier for people to track.
For him. Because if I get into the mystery landscape, that's Ion, and we can't do Ion with him, really, right? So.
Yeah, okay.
I'm saying I'm going to a four-body model with you, retard Cameron McEwen.
Okay. It made it sound like, you know, just in general, like you were going to pump that version. But so you're saying the tiny note overlaying so well interconnecting with the angel diagram, and that phrase you said, like the peak of social mortar, like the peak of society, like we've reached.
Yeah, that's today. It's the peak of digital development.
Yeah, and so, like, the tiny note chart is key for really being able to, I guess, right justify that. Like, when Ion says, you know, you got to be able to right justify it.
Okay,
so,
yeah. So this is what I was, this is how I would say it, what you're trying to say.
Right?
Weeks ago, Ion dropped a bomb on me and Carolyn that the tiny note chart is going to interact with the angel diagram. They're intimately involved. So I've been thinking about, I wonder how that will be. And so then Carol did the first seven rings, and that was okay. Then we did the second seven rings, with the middle one, Escher, is ring seven, and that's the interplay of all this. Mm-hmm. That's where both the first six rings and the last seven interplay in the tactile thing. So we would ask Ian if the seventh ring is the middle kingdom. I'm wondering where the kingdoms fit in this thing. Anyway, so listening to what Carolyn brought forth, I saw, oh, that's the three levels, information, the drops, and your judgment of it. And then I saw how they got more information about the boxes, and we already had it as literacy. So I just got a whole bunch more crystallization from Carolyn's review that then I could see the pattern I laid out to you. I could see the rings in Bob terms. And so ring 8, the beginning of the social mortar emphasis, is psychology. Ring 9 is sociology, or self and society. But then it gets more particular and specialized with the printing press. That's ring 10. And then ring 11 is the electric environment, most of the 20th century, with the seven empires, or corporate emperors, you know, the Rockefellers, the Bill Gates and all that. But Bill Gates might be the final ring, which is the digital, with all these many little numbers and ratios. So I can map on, and then I realize, oh, this is maybe how the tiny note is going to be applied.
Mm.
But all what I'm saying now is a lead-up. I couldn't have got ready for the tiny note until Carolyn did what she did on the other day, that gave me ideas about the media, and I'm telling it to you, and then I'm realizing that might be preparing myself for what Ian's going to say about the tiny note chart.
Yeah.
So it works together. You know, the idea was said, you're going to put the two charts together, didn't know how it happened, But then it just naturally unfolds. Each week, some new aspect, new information comes through that I can figure out something from that.
This also shows why you're the only one who can speak to the aliens, Bob.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, what I'm saying, you guys wouldn't have thought of. You wouldn't say it. You don't even know what I'm talking about, maybe.
Right? Nobody would have, Bob. Nobody on Earth except you.
That's right.
So it's not just
nobody
us.
Knows that communication no. is a mistake. People, they make a big deal out. You take that phrase, the heart is the matter of the heart. Is that what it is?
The heart is the matter of the heart.
Now, you know they project a lot of conceptual emotions and body or frequencies. Like the topic about grounding, and Carolyn says, so you're saying energy medicine is an attempt to get grounded, which is not what you want to do, but that's pretty good. A lot of the new age health techniques are people actually grounding to the old body. They're not aware of the new digital thing, which is creating a new cloud or world of vapors, which requires a new kind of medicine, not
it's
acupuncture.
Interesting too. It's interesting, too, that Gates, in that context, is the last empire as a digital king, but he's also very much an alien medicine, straight-up poison man.
Right.
Both in medicine and food now.
Yeah, and he's got the word Gates, and he operates in the financial world. So he bills everybody who are using all the different digital gates. He's ignoring the ionic gates.
He should take some of his own shots, maybe.
Yep. Well,
to be away with him.
As Michael said the other day, Kanye needs to talk to Bob.